There's a couple parts to that question. First of all, I'm not exactly sure, exactly what you're looking for in that question, but I will try and answer it. There is what's called the home buyer's plan, which a first-time home buyer can, or someone who's been out of the housing market for 5 years can actually borrow money from their RSP, and they have to repay that money over a 15-year term. In a non-arm's length transaction, somebody can, if they have enough money in their RSP, fund a mortgage. It's a fairly, it's not complicated, but it does take a fair amount of cost to actually get it done. And there are certain places that will do that. If a person had a $100,000 mortgage and a $100,000 RSP, yes, you could use the funds in the RSP to basically write a mortgage on the home.
I wonder if the banker or the investment group will actually, do they still charge the same rate? When you take your RSPs out, we do get charged for them, don't we, Rick? If we did it for a mortgage, would they nail you there too?
No. Basically what it is your mortgage is a non-arm's length transaction in the RSP, and so it's no different than a bond at one of the banks or a GIC. It's just a piece of paper that you agree to pay back, and as a result, the interest is calculated that it's a competitive rate and everything like that, but you don't see much of that, and I don't believe at IPC we can do that any longer, but it was a little more common a number of years ago.
What do we get charged when we take our RSPs out at the end of our working life? Does that change? Does that fluctuate? Or we get,
well,
there
right,
is a rate, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. It depends on the amount that you take out. So anything under $5,000 is a 10% withholding tax. So obviously that tax is just added to your yearly income, and you know, in some cases you may even get that back. Anything over $5,000 is 20%. But basically, if a person has a RIF or something where they're getting income every month from it, it's no different than getting income from a salary. It's basically taxed. There's a withholding tax on it, but it's taxed at the end of the year at your apparent tax rate.
I was sitting there trying to figure that out one day. I thought, I wonder how much I'm going to lose when I go take it out when I turn 65 or whenever I'm allowed to take it out. But I guess that means don't take it out in one lump sum or move it on.
Absolutely. You see that situation where somebody has, put off taking money from their RSP for whatever reason. Maybe they're just still working in at a higher tax rate, and unfortunately something happens to them and they pass away, and then that lump sum in their RSP is actually taxed in 1 year. And if you see, $250,000, $300,000 taxed in 1 year, half of it's going to disappear.
Geez, that's good to know down the road. Well, that answers my question and yours, Gord. thanks for listening in Princeton about Ken Gord Mortgage's house with his RRSP.
And I should add to that too, Dennis, like there is what is a spousal rollover. So, as long as the spouse is a beneficiary, that RRSP or RIF will transfer tax deferred to the spouse in a situation where one or either of them pass away.
Good stuff. Thank you. Angus and Penticton, is there a benefit or is there more than a benefit in buying bonds under par? Oh, I get that. Under par.
Okay, for Angus. So if you're buying a bond under par, that basically it's trading under par because the net yield to the client is consistent with what other products are available at that maturity and credit quality. So two bonds that have the same credit quality and maturity date, if one was trading above par and one below par, there would be really no net benefit. The cash flow would be consistent from both. However, the one trading below par, when it matures, you would have a small capital loss, or depending on the amount of the investment, but you'd have a capital loss and you would have a higher portion of interest revenue from that bond. And it really comes down to whether there would be a benefit in a tax situation or not. Typically, a lot of people feel they're getting a deal if it's trading below par, but the reason it's trading below par is because the coupon on the bond is much lower than the current rate.
Buying bonds under par, interesting. Angus in Penticton. We've got callers waiting in Penticton and Oliver in real time here, 778-476-1674. You can write the questions in. As I was telling you, you can pass them on Twitter or Facebook if you like. At Facebook, it's So Country Radio with Dennis Walker. Twitter, at So Country. Now, Raina Donna comes back after this.
When it's time to get serious about how to invest, your first step should be a visit to Rick David at IPC Securities in Penticton's City Center building. The first thing Rick does is discuss and define your specific financial goals and needs. That first session will last about half an hour and won't be intimidating. Together, you'll create a plan that allocates capital and is inexpensive to operate. The final design will consist of investment solutions that will help you reach your financial goals for the short and the long term. In our modern age of high-speed technology, it's not hard to keep track of business transactions happening anywhere in the world. With daily fluctuations and, more importantly, what that means for your investments, it just makes good sense to have sound professional advice. Get the long and short of it with someone who's close by and knows the local market just as much as the international one. Rick David is just a phone call or email away. Set up an appointment, IPC Securities Corporation in Penticton. Rick David, your investment advisor in the 200 block of downtown Penticton, second floor of the City Center building.
Yeah, Rick's in the City Center building in downtown Penticton. We are broadcasting from the Adidas Sportsplex in the heart of Penticton, where we play soccer and sometimes lacrosse, as we're seeing here today. It's very motivating to see all these kids come in here and do what they have to do every day. From Jeff in Penticton, what is a zero coupon bond?
Okay, Jeff, what a zero coupon bond, just another, name for what we call a strip bond. Typically, what they are is a bond that has the coupon payments stripped off the principal portion, and they work quite well, and we use them in a lot of different circumstances. But the only thing that a person should remember about strip bonds or zero coupon bonds is there's no income stream. They just really just grow in value over time, and when a person buys them, their rate of return over the period till maturity is pretty much fixed. The value may go up and down on the strip bond, but if they hold it to maturity, basically they'll get the 5% or whatever they were looking at when they purchased the bond.
When I see some of these questions, Rick, like in this case, the zero coupon bond, have they always been there?
Yep.
Oh.
They're just not, obviously they're not available everywhere. And so, you know, that's a benefit if you think of investments a lot like tools. If you've got all the different tools to do a job, then basically it's a lot easier to get something accomplished. And they work really, really good for folks that are sort of saving towards retirement. You know, young people, you can use a strip bond with, an ETF or a mutual fund or some stocks, have the portfolio grow. So I really, really like them for accumulation portfolios.
Excellent. Geez, we're going to be, you know what, Walter and Oliver, we're going to have to sneak you under the wire for next time because time is winding down here. Our 20-minute conversation on a Sunday. If you're hearing some noise in the background, it's just that of the lacrosse players getting set to go for another day. Rick, just quickly, if people want an appointment with you, I guess you prefer that they would phone ahead of time, but if they want to drop in, you just, as soon as the glass elevator opens on the second floor, they'll be looking right at your office, right?
Yeah, you bet. You know, they can send me an email or give me a call. I prefer if somebody sort of sets something up just to make sure that obviously I'm not in another appointment, or if they don't waste their time coming down and I won't be able to see them. But yeah, absolutely. Send me an email. Send me a quick call on the phone, and we can tee something up. You can go to my website, rickdavid.ca. And get some information. Plus, the past radio shows are on there as well, Dennis.
That's right. Yeah, we should mention that too. You keep them up on your website where there's financial information, and your website also rolls out the market prices as they're moving along, don't they?
Not so much. Like, I mean, no, there's not that link in my to have like where you can get a stock quote or something like that. But there is a lot of information on there.
Yeah, related information. Well, gee, thank you. We're rolling again. That's another one done. We also have some special guests that are going to be coming in and being a part of this show in the future too, aren't we?
Yeah, we certainly are. We're going to get a couple people in here. Hopefully, I just got to schedule them in, and we're going to have somebody talking about mortgages. We're going to have someone talking about estates. So if you've got questions regarding that, definitely write in or give us a call.
The opinions and commentary are solely that of Rick David, not that of IPC Securities Corporation. Listeners are advised to talk to their own financial advisor for their own financial advice. IPC Securities Corporation is a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund.